I want to tell you one thing. He said, how was it he put that now? I'm trying to remember the words that he said, physically, and you're in one of a mess, you know. And I said, well, thanks a lot. You know, I asked him, I said, you want me to run or walk to the nearest funeral parlor? And he stopped and looked at me, and he says, well, I think we can work with you. But he says, I want you to go to a specialist. He says, I want you to see Dr. Anderson. He said, he can work with you and probably find out your trouble quicker than I can. So the next time I go back to him, he said, I've been talking to Dr. Thomas. He said, and I think we should run this sugar test and this thyroid test and all this. So now they're going to postpone Dr. Anderson and take these other tests before I go to see Dr. Anderson.
Well, you're real lucky. At least he talked to your former doctor.
Yes, I think so, because this is what I wanted him to do in the beginning, was to get all these records and save me a lot of explaining and a lot of, save him a lot of time if he'd just get the records and go over. And I don't know whether now that he thinks he might have left something out, or I might have gotten worse since I went to Dr. Thomas and it's been that long, or just what. He's kind of changing his method. That kind of had me worried in the last 2 weeks.
Well, just so you get it all fixed up, anybody can go out and make hay.
Yes, I'm not going to give up. If I die out in the hayfield, I'll be happier than I would if I was home sitting in the chair. But,
you know, that's there's not much light work out in that hayfield, Shirley.
Well, I've been doing a lot of driving. I do the driving. I let them do the heavy work. Cause I buckle my knees, will buckle off from under me anymore. I can't do the work I used to do out
there. What driving do you do? You run the rake.
Well, yes, either that, any tractor work, I can do this, or drive the truck and let Johnny pick the bales up and load them in the truck, or pull a wagon and let him load the wagon, and Berman will load when he gets through baling. But if there's a rain cloud coming up and it looks like it's going to catch us, I'll get out there and load and let Johnny drive, because he's a little bit slow. He's good, and this year he can throw a bale just like Berman can. You pick it up and toss it up like it was a peanut, you know.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Boy, that boy's really been a lot of help. I don't know, we're going to miss him now that he's in school. See, Berman, he's going to take off 2 weeks of his vacation and put up hay.
Yeah.
So, Johnny in school, we won't have
Johnny
him until about 4 o'clock.
Johnny can't take off from the school.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take him out of school.
Well, you just have to take him out half a day, because you don't make hay of a morning.
Well, then you got to go over and get him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I just might, but I hate to do that. See, he gets in at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, a lot of light.
If he could, and like you said, we don't start until dinner time,
yeah.
Right around dinner time, 11 o'clock. And we can get it all raked and baled by the time he gets in from school. Then we can pick it up in the field.
Yeah, that's a critical part, isn't it?
But that's about 4 o'clock. If you're going to get any rain, that's about the time you get your rain.
Yeah. It'd be nice just to go ahead and get it all in and not have to wait.
That's right.
Now, do you have a place, when you get on your wagon, can you drive under something?
Those sheds there in the yard.
Yeah.
We can pull it right up underneath those sheds there and leave it there until it stops raining.
Right. You have some ashes.
Yeah, if that's that wrong direction. No, you put it up there too, don't you?
Yeah, in both barns. See, we got the carrier in this barn, the one where you can put it up, you know,
uh-huh.
In the hayloft.
The elevator?
Uh-huh, the carrier. I guess we must have about 400 bales in that one barn now.
Yeah.
And I think he can get about 800 in each barn. Or better. Maybe a little more in the far barn down there. But, anything else. I don't know where we're going to put it. He wants to try to sell some out of the field for a dollar a bale and not have to pick it up, you know, let them go along behind the bale and pick it up.
Let them pick it up.
Uh-huh. And that's why you don't have to worry about storing it.
If Marvin bought it, see, he'd want it hauled.
Well.
Because he hadn't got any way to haul it.
He's got that big old truck, but that's a lot of bother. You know, it's got those high sides on it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he could get about 50 bales on there, couldn't he?
On
with
the
that
trunk.
Big, with that big bale, with that big...
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of truck. Taking it and stacking it in there, and then unstacking it, and then stacking it in the barn.
But he don't get home in time.
That's just it. He'd have to take... And I think he took all his vacation during the time Mrs. Guthrie was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Or most of it, anyway.
Yeah.
But we've got those wagons there. He can use those wagons to haul
just,
it off.
Just haul, just pull that over there.
That's all he'd have to do. And the way Johnny and I, Berman doesn't like it. It makes him nervous. But it makes it a lot easier on Johnny, and it makes it a lot easier on me. We get Timmy in the truck, in the back end of the truck, and he stacks it. And Johnny goes along behind the baler. The baler's coming off like this.
Yeah.
On one side,
mm-hmm.
and then I take the truck on this side and stay with the back of the body of the truck right even with the end of the baler.
Oh.
And then as Berman goes along, I go along like this. Johnny walks along behind here and catches them as they come off of the baler,
yeah.
throws them onto the truck. Timmy stacks it. Well, we keep right up with him and not a bale hits the ground.
That makes Berman nervous.
Yeah. Because when he goes around the corner, I'm going around the corner and he's got one eye on me and one eye on the hay and one eye on where he's going. Takes three eyes and he doesn't have them.
Now, Guy, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
You all going to be doing that this afternoon?
Uh-huh.
Now, I would like to see that, Guy.
Now, if we get... Now, Berman will be in around 4:30.
Yeah.
Berman and Johnny will be in around 4. So we're going to jump down there and start. I imagine it'll be about 5 if everybody gets together. Before everybody gets, and no rain.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll be about 5 before we start picking them up.
I would sure like to see that.
But that's the way it goes. The baler on one side and the truck on this side, the body of the truck back here, and Johnny walks along right next to the where the bales come out there, though. What do you call that?
Yeah.
The chute, I guess you would call it. And he just picks them up, throws them in the truck, and Timmy stacks, and then we go along.
Now, you all really put up hay over this weekend.
Yes, and we could have. He put more up last night if I'd have let him, but I told him, I said, if it gets wet, it just gets wet. Wasn't quite ready, and he knew it, and I knew it.
Yeah.
But he kept looking at that dark cloud.
Yeah.
And I said, and he was already tired. He was so tired, he couldn't keep his hands from shaking. It was going like this.
Well, you put up 600 bales.
Well, not all, no. We had about
200.
About 200 in the barn, I guess.
No. Well, that's a whole lot, though.
But see, he'd been mending fences. We'd been all day Saturday. We ran calves. Had those buyers out there to sell those few calves, scrawny things that was out there in the field.
Well, you made money.
And we did. But we worked for it. We even roped a calf down there in the field. The 17-year-old boy wanted a pretty heifer, and I had already registered her in our name. And she was 3 months old. And I sold her for $160 to this boy.
3 months old.
She's 3 months old. And I went ahead and sold her because she's a beautiful animal. I mean, I really wanted her. We took her off the cow. So now I have to get her up to the barn and milk her out a time or two. I think she'll be all right. But I didn't like to do that, you know, selling that young.
Yeah.
But the boy had to have him for a future farmer animal. So, and he really liked that heifer. And I had just registered her in our name because I wanted to keep her. And his mother said, "Now look at there." She said, "You know how to pick them." She said, "That's the only nice one you got in the whole bunch." And it was. I had to agree. So she took the one that I had registered, or picked the one. So for the boy to raise. So we went down there in the field, and I couldn't get them out. You know how in the heat of the day they wouldn't leave the shade?
Yes.
And they wanted to take them back. They were from the other side of Jacksonville. They wanted to take the calf back with them when they went. So I said, the only way we're going to get that calf is to rope them. And Berman had a rope there, and this 17-year-old boy and I went down the field. I told everybody else to stay at the house because all they did was, you know, get them running around in the field. We couldn't do anything with them. So I told Berman to stay out of the field. So he and this fella talked, and this boy's mother. And the boy and I went down there, and I walked around them and got them all up in a huddle with a couple of buckets of feed, and let the, you know, the leaders eat out of the buckets of feed. And we kind of scrounged the calf in between two cows, and he just slipped that rope right over the calf's neck. But then he dropped the rope, and the calf took off, and I grabbed a hold of the end of the rope, and that calf took me for the biggest ride you ever saw.
Oh, they can really... Got power, haven't
and
they?
He pulled me right across there's a branch down there, a muddy branch, and it's about 3 feet wide, and I couldn't jump it. So the only thing I could do was go along, you know, for the ride. He pulled me right across that muddy branch. All I had time to do was kick my shoes off, and I went right on into the mud and across the other side. And there was one place there, I don't think there was any bottom to that thing. I thought I was swallowed up for sure. If it hadn't been for that calf, I think I'd have gone down quicksand. We came across the tree, and boy, I wrapped that thing around the tree.
Yeah.
And that boy was afraid to get his boots wet. He wouldn't jump the branch, and he just stood there looking at me. I felt like killing him.
How about that?
Oh, man. But I was ready for a shower that day.
3 months old.
He took it off to... Oh, but he was tickled with that calf. He couldn't wait to get it. He's going to put it in the fair in October. Now, it's going to be little yet.
Yeah.
I don't care how much feed he's in. And he had a milk cow. He's going to put it on this milk cow.
Yeah.
So it ought to grow off pretty good, being on the milk cow. And he said he can't wait to get home to brush her up, you know, and put a halter on her and really tame her down. So we want to go to that fair. It's in Callahan, Florida. Just the other side of Jacksonville. I'd like to take the kids up there, but I want to see what he does with that calf.
Yeah.
I just want to see what
he does. Do you remember the name?
Rushing was the guy that bought the calves Saturday afternoon, and this guy came in the morning. What was his name? I wrote it down. I write all these buyers' name and addresses down, but I can't remember. I don't remember what that man's name was. Sure don't. Rushing from over at Micanopy is the one that bought the bunch, you know, the rest of them that I had. Well, Faye, I didn't use these napkins, but I swear I'm making a mess out of them.
Shelly, you know, I'm sort of excited over the prospect of that fluffer. That's going to save you a lot of work. I do believe.
Yes, but we're fighting over it because he's taking the, he wants to take the money that I wanted to buy a Cassis with, you know, that little bull. This is what I've been... He told me if I sold those two scrawny bulls and got the price I was asking out, that I deserved to get that bull. Well, I sold them, and I got the price I wanted for. So now I'm looking forward to that little bull. You still want to sell
that,
I'm afraid you're going to get attached to him and won't want to lose.
That fluffer, though, I can see that you just need it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Now, in a way, that'll save you steps, and a little bull will be a lot of extra. You know, I wish there was some way I could put a little bull or two in with a heifer or two with a little fence between them. It's just the feeding of them, you know, basically, that causes the trouble and why they can come up and get a little attention.
What you need is that little calf creep. Thing that I got there.
Yeah.
That has been my right arm with those calves. And if I really got Berman to do what I want him to do with it, it would be a lot better yet. I want him to put it out in that field, you know, in front of the house there, next to the water trough.
Yeah.
Right there where I'm going to have to walk so far.
Yeah.
We have to go and keep going back and forth to the barn anyhow, and that's not far from the house.
Yeah.
And if he put those calves, I put those calves in that field there, and if he would put that calf creeper in there and put those iron bars out so far from the calf creeper and let them go up under that bar to get their feed. Now, that would keep the big ones out because they can't get down and under those bars like the little ones can.
Yeah.
So then you're only feeding the little ones, you see, that need it the worst. And they're good about, you know, dividing up. There's five or six, seven can get on one side and seven on the other, or eight at one time, if you had that many.
And they can just eat so much and they're quick.
That's right. But the big ones, you see, would knock all the little ones out of there if you didn't have something for them to crawl up underneath and get to the feed.
Yeah.
Keep the big ones away. Yeah. And that way you don't have the expense of another fence or another field or... I really like that combination. If he could get out there and do it for me, he's always so big that I hate to ask him.
Yeah.
And so I've been kind of working with him. I've been dividing the calves from the heifers and the heifers from the calves, and that's a big job because they all come up together.
Yeah,
yeah, I just try to keep them separated. If it lasts up to the next bunch of calves we get, I'm going to try to have him fix that one. It wouldn't take a couple hours maybe to weld those four pieces on each side. No, three pieces on each side. He needs a couple of, he needs four fence posts and, let's see, six pieces of iron, angle iron. That's all he needs, six pieces of iron.
You know, if I was something like that, it'd be so much trouble.
Yeah. The frame from that old car out there would be just the thing for him to pull. If you pull that off, that thing off, you know that old car of Daddy's sitting out down there? It's got a good length of angle iron. You cut those two in half, and there you have not enough angle iron, but well, you have two more. You might put two more bars in the front and one to the back.
Now, the thing that saves me time about this, these little slips that I see.
I like that.
Is that, just one handle can get in, and he can stand there and eat at his feet.
Uh-huh.
And they can't foul him out.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I found out just by using those bits? That my two best cows are slow eaters. And if they are out there as free for all, free for all, whatever they call that, they don't get them.
That's right. It's always those few rattle ones that will really keep the herd disturbed, too, if you're doing it that way. Reading out of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons going on.
Reading out of it, and the others will get near their share.
And you can't put enough out there to throw them.
I'm enjoying it, but if there's any work you have to do with the calves, I'd be glad to help you with it. I hate to see good animals like that little monkey.
I know it's not falling there, and I hate to put out of
it. You see them there. Much better than they were
to
I feel a lot better when all that hay's in the barn.
Yeah. And they've got a oh, they've really got some grass over there now.
Really? You can go down around, you know, around that pond down there. I drove down there and went down to see where those cows were at and show those people about the little calf in the rope. And I couldn't see where I was going. It was up over the hood of the car and up past where I couldn't see, you know, where I was going. I had to get out of there and get up and get back to the truck. And,
Well, now that's it.
I said we walked at least 10 miles, you know, just sightseeing St. Augustine. And there are some beautiful places over there. Beautiful places. And so much for the kids to see. And, say, there's one place over there, they call it the House of Dolls. Bonnie wanted to go in there, and we went to the one in there. They got dolls, I bet you, we're back in the 1700s. Gorgeous. You been in there?
No, I'm sorry.
They got four rooms of dolls and toys and all kinds of knickknacks, you know, made out of wood, you know, mechanical operating dolls, some of the play instruments, and some of the chop wood.
And the old ones were
cut. They were cut all out of wood, the whole thing. Oh, beautiful. And the kids just, Daddy thought that was so fascinating. And he's been trying to carve something out of wood since he got back from there, and hasn't worked very well. So, I don't know.
I don't think I can get
a piece of money out of it. It costs $25 just to stay open up. We have two different colors. Combined categories. We just had inner doors that we could open when they were together. Because there's so many kids. But it cost us $25. It would have been cheaper for us to come back and go back again the next month, really. But it involved so much of our time going back and forth that we couldn't have got so much sightseeing going in the only house
around.
One thing they wanted to see was the history of St. Augustine and this play that was acted out, The Cross and the Sword, over there. And we didn't get to do this. And we were very disappointed. We were going to go back, but then it was the last Saturday, I think it was the last show. So we missed that. No, it didn't start until about 8 o'clock, I think. Nice. 8 o'clock, I'm wore out. I'm asleep at 9 o'clock, and I probably would have fell asleep sitting there because we had walked the entire day, and I really wasn't well when we went over in the first place, but I was trying to pull myself together so the kids would have a good time. So I did all this walking and went to the old fort and the old jail and places like that. And you know, the kids see this and they see that and they want to show it in the air. Well, I think it cost us a couple of $100 before we could turn around. So they had a good time, and it was something I don't think they ever should get. No. I hadn't really. It was just Berman and I. I wouldn't have enjoyed it near as much. So if you have the kids, you enjoy it so much more. The costume, man, but she enjoyed it.
Yes, the little lady now, who is listening to me, they all say now.
Absolutely. I saw her. Well, we took her daughter to the beach Sunday. Friday. Gordon took off from work Friday, and we went back to the beach again Friday. So that's not the day, because we promised him one more day before school started, so that was the last of our promises. So we went back Friday and we took little Susie with us. So she's bigger than Johnny is. She's a year older, I think, than Johnny. But we all went over and had a nice day, and I took a big lunch over and so we had dinner and supper on the beach, at the beach, over there. And they spent all afternoon in the water. So they had a time. They really had a time. getting from her husband, Tom. He's always far lower on her prices. She's giving less for that competition than what Tom is. He's always giving maybe 2-3 cents more a pound for that too. And after a while, it all added up. So she's making a good business.
Now, I never talked to them about it, but I'm having a few questions. You ought to talk about it.
She's, I don't know, I've gotten a little bit from this and a little bit from that, and then on to learn some more pizza, which I put it all together. She's, I don't think, very proud of the way she has saved all the neighbors around there, and she feels sort of left out or something now because they don't have much to do with her anymore, because they're not really a friend to her. They're like neighbors, and they'll say howdy and all this, but they're not really talking to her either. And this hurts them. Well, people like Mrs. Guthrie. Now, as soon as she leaves Mrs. Guthrie's house, Mrs. Guthrie comes over and tells me what goes on. So I don't see where I get most of my information. But you couldn't call them friends because she's so much against Mrs. Guthrie for what she's done in the past. You see, then there's Mrs. Bass. And Bernie was a big fisherman. Bernie Bass. He was a very big fisherman. The boat knot sent her over here to Mrs. Griffin. They're big fishermen. Anyone that has anything to do with fish doesn't want anything to do with Mrs. Griffin. They're all very independent now. They all sell to their own dealers. So for years, they haven't had anything to do with her or her then. And now she wants to be friends with them. Well, how can she expect her? And really, if she'd have kept prices at a moderate, you know, after her husband died, she would have cut it out a lot better. Probably be still in the
situation. They
kind of remember all of it. That's right. That's why they all broke off, you see, in that different way. Each one of them grew more independent as time went on.
Oh, you mean before she gave it up,
they
were breaking off?
That's right. Because, see, they found dealers that would come out and deal with them individually and give them more than what she was giving to them. Eventually lost all her trade because she didn't happen to get out of her business. Because she was just trying to make it all in one day.
I just wonder how she did. You know, she got pregnant.
She tells me, she says, you know, for a woman that's only had 4 years of schooling, she said that she only went to the fourth grade. And she said, for a woman that's only made into the fourth grade in school, she said, I have really come a long way. She said, I've done all right. And she said, that was what she was doing. I don't know, because by golly, I've met some very nice people, and they're well-to-do people, and they haven't had the 3 and 4 years of schooling.
They don't make fun of it.
No. If they can read and write and keep up with the times, if they can study enough from the newspaper and what's going on and listening in different conversations, I don't think it makes any difference. We've had some friends out for dinner here. Oh, he's graduating. He's going to be an architect. He already graduated. I don't know what he's doing. He's just biding his time right now. I think he knew that. But anyway, he came out to the house and said that he was sitting there, and I had thought they were, you know, I had everything just right. Please come join me, sit down and eat some of pass the gravy, please. Yeah, passing the gravy. And pours all this gravy in the middle of his plate. And pass the biscuits, please. And passing the biscuits. He broke up all of it. He sat there with a spoon eating it, you know. And I thought, my Lord. Here is all this food, you know, prepared to eat right, you know. And here he's eating. And I thought, well, boy, I feel good now. And I said, there's somebody real down to earth. I said, boy, you must be a Southerner, for sure. I said, I've never seen anybody grab the biscuits and gravy the way you have before, you know, you get it the main course in the he said, this is real down to earth eating. And he sat there eating that gravy and biscuits and the steam and all like that. Here he was with a goatee, you know, and all dressed up. And I thought, oh, when he walked in, you know, I was so nervous because I'd never met him before. He was from the Burma. And his wife was all dressed up to kill, you know, and clothes, everything. I was so nervous. And I was never more at home and at ease in my life as I was that day with him for that day. After he started eating his biscuits today, we were still talking about that.
But
well, he says he's been going to school, I don't know how many years, and he looked over at her and he said, he said, Burma, he says, I don't know who you were talking about, education. And Burma says, well, he says, I had to take the equivalent of a high school education in America. He says, I didn't get very far myself, like that, to this boy. And they're dressing up, and he said, he stopped eating his gravy and biscuits, and he had gravy down on his beard down here, you know. I couldn't help but laugh. He turned and he says, what the hell have I been going to school for? He said, this is really little. I don't think he's as old as I am. I think he's 35, maybe. He was born in Burma was born in Largo, and he was born somewhere around the 17th. But
he's got one more
at the university.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So you see, he's they have how did they do this now? I can't remember what Burma told me. They have somebody from each village that's in charge of that village or something. This is where he met Bill. This is what Bill is doing. I don't know exactly how they work it.
So he's known him for years.
Oh, he's known him 2 years now since he's been at Corey Village. See, Burma was over in Diamond Village, and then they transferred him to Corey Village. And then he met this Bill. And Bill was there in charge of the village there, and he was moving. So, and they've got to be just like this, you know.
Well, what
did
you know?
Did
you know anything about
him? No, he's building, yes, and building, and Vernon helped him out. He said, in a lot of his subjects, a lot of his preparation that he had to have for tests and all, Vernon giving him a lot of good ideas. He said, when he was out there, so evidently he did know something about what Vernon did. Yeah, and he really came up with some ideas of using this, stuff that was out there. was Mr. Murphy, you know, when he weightlifted.
Yeah.
I said, Jeff, he's saying he just complained that he won't be able to do him.
Oh, no.
He's just nothing but a solid muscle.
Yeah.
And
now, Bonnie, now, does she and the other two little girls still play? Tina and...
Oh, yeah. They're very good. Yeah. Well, they've been close to that if it wasn't for Cindy. Cindy's still got a problem because she's all lefty and all thumb. She does, she thinks she can do as they do and not get hurt. But everything that they do seems a little bit hard for Cindy to do. And she ends up getting hurt. And then she'll cry. Or they'll run off and leave her behind. And then she'll stand and come to me crying. And it makes it kind of awkward with her. Now, Bonnie and Tina get along fine. But when Cindy's there, she's a little bit young. And she just gets hurt with the two. Well, that's the way it is with my five kids. Now, if I've got two of them doing something, they do it well. There's no problem. If you get that third one in there, there's a mess. There's a mess.
Well,
I wish I had four or six.
Oh, not good.
Well, we're ready.
Bring them in here. Let me have
them.
Bring them in here, Faye.
They don't have to play all three on at one time.
Well, I pair them off then while these two are over here playing, these two over here working. I get to get the oddball in the house with me to do something.
Tina and Cindy and all that. Bonnie, they don't have to be all three at one time, do they?
No, but usually it's Tina goes, Cindy tags along. All come along, which is what's going to happen. And little Vaughn, now he can come down and play. Now, Vaughn and Danny used to play together. But now Danny is getting so much bigger than Vaughn, Danny wants to do something else. But it breaks his heart to have his buddy go off with Tommy to play. So then Danny left in the play. He goes around with a long face and doesn't know what to do with himself when Vaughn is there. And that's it.
But now, you or Bernie, you know, I'm talking about the little boy, wasn't you?
Probably Vaughn.
Vaughn, yeah.
Berman's got a good thing going on Vaughn. He just can't stand that kid. He wants to get some meat on his bones.
Oh, he's just like a zebra, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he just never grows. I don't know. I had high hopes this summer he'd really put on some weight, but he wasn't.
Oh, he just slowly pounds and he's sitting.
That's all. And he raised my icebox, and the minute he gets there, the minute he leaves.
But that's all he wants.
That's all he wants. Cake, cookies, or pie, or soft drink. And then he
Tuesday morning, the 4th September, 7th of September, 71, Tuesday after Labor Day, all the children are in school after the long summer. Channel 1 over, the end of Channel 1 over, around 900, and ended the visit with Shirley this Tuesday morning after Labor Day, the 7th of September, 71. Channel 1 over, around 900. The end of the visit with Shirley this Tuesday after Labor Day, the 7th of September, 1971.